What everybody had expected to be at best a brief, limited stand lasting just long enough to make a point had developed into a wholehearted war effort. The early reverses and first few megadeaths had not, as the pundits and experts had predicted, shocked the culture into retiring, horrified at the brutalities of war, but proud to have put its collective life where usually only its collective mouth was. Instead, it had just kept on retreating and retreating, preparing, gearing up and planning. Horsa was convinced the minds were behind it all. He could not believe the ordinary people in the culture really wanted the war, no matter how they had voted. They had their communist utopia. They were soft and pampered and indulged, and the contact section's evangelical materialism provided their conscience-salving good works. What more could they want? The war had to be the mind's idea. It was part of their clinical drive to clean up the galaxy, make it run on nice, efficient lines, without waste, injustice or suffering. The fools in the culture couldn't see that one day the minds would start thinking how wasteful and inefficient the humans in the culture themselves were. Horsa used the suit's internal gyros to steer himself, letting him look at every part of the sky, wondering where in that light-flecked emptiness battles raged and billions died, where the culture still held and the Adiran battle fleets pressed. The suit hummed and clicked and hissed very quietly around him, precise, obedient, reassuring. Suddenly it jolted, steadying him without warning and jarring his teeth. A noise, uncomfortably like a collision alarm, trilled violently in one ear, and out of the corner of his eye, Horsa could see a microscreen set inside the helmet near his left cheek light up with a hollow red graph display.
"Target, acquisition, radar," the suit said. "Incoming, increasing."
Chapter 3. Clear Air Turbulence.
"What?" roared Horsa.
"Target, acquire—"
the suit began again. "Oh, shut up," Horsa shouted, and started punching buttons on the suit's wrist console, twisting this way and that, scanning the darkness around him. There ought to have been a way of getting a head-up display on the inside of the helmet visor to show him what direction the signals were coming from, but he hadn't enough time to familiarize himself completely with the suit, and he couldn't find the right button. Then he realized he could probably just ask. "Suit, give me a head-up on the transmission source." The top left edge of the visor flashed. He turned and tipped until a winking red dot positioned itself on the transparent surface. He hit the wrist buttons again, and the suit hissed as it evacuated gas from its soul nozzles, sending him shooting away under about one gravity. Nothing appeared to change apart from his weight, but the red light went out briefly, then came back on. He swore. The suit said,
"Target acquisition, I know,"
Horsa told it. He unslung the plasma pistol from his arm and readied the suit lasers. He cut the gas jets too. Whatever it was coming after him, he doubted he'd be able to outrun it. He became weightless again. The small red light continued to flash on the visor. He watched the internal screens. The transmission source was closing on a curved course at about 0.01 lights in real space. The radar was low frequency and not particularly powerful. All too low tech to be either the culture or the Adirans. He told the suit to cancel the head up, brought the magnifiers down from the top of the visor and switched them on, aiming at where the radar source had been coming from. A Doppler shift in the signal, still displayed on one of the helmet's small internal screens, announced that whatever was producing the transmission was slowing down. Was he going to be picked up rather than blown apart? Something glinted hazily in the magnifier's field. The radar switched off. It was very close now. He felt his mouth go dry and his hands shook inside the heavy gloves of the suit. The image in the magnifiers seemed to explode with darkness. Then he swept them back to the top of the helmet and looked out into the starfields and the inky night. Something tore across his vision, pure black, racing across the backdrop of sky in utter silence. He jabbed at the button, which switched on the suit's needle radar, and tried to follow the shape as it passed him, occluding stars, but he missed, so there was no way of telling how close it had come or how big it was. He had lost track of it in the spaces between the stars when the darkness ahead of him flared. He guessed it was turning. Sure enough, back came the radar pulse.
"Tark quiet,"
Horsa said, checking the plasma gun. The dark shape expanded almost directly ahead. The stars around it wobbled and brightened in the lens effect of an imperfectly adjusted warp motor in cancel mode. Horsa watched the shape come closer. The radar switched off again. He switched his own back on, the needle beam scanning the craft ahead. He was looking at the resulting image on an internal screen when it flickered and went out. The suit's hissings and humming stopped, and the stars started to fade away.